Good morning. Welcome to the Saturday Morning Storytellers live in Watford City here at the Little Missouri Inn and Suites. And we are joined here today with Jim Green and Dr. Noelle Green, the Watford City High School principal. That is Jim Green, and Dr. Noelle Green is middle school principal. And ladies first, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
Of course. Pleased to be here.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, not a problem.
How long have you been in Watford?
We've been here for 3 years, just about 3 years on the dot, actually. So
okay. Well, right before, I suppose, school started. So has school started?
Not yet. Next week, the teachers come back, and then the following week, students start.
Down in Texas, it started last week.
I saw that,
A lot of places. And so it's so weird. And, of course, a lot of places have year-round school now and that sort of thing. I suppose that comes cycling back every year in some discussion, some meeting.
Yep.
You know, it's. Do you guys know the whole theory or the whole reason behind year-round school versus nine-month school?
Well, a little bit. My understanding is the nine-month school calendar is really based around kind of the farming and ranching, the agrarian society. So many kids had to help on the farm back in the day. And locally here, we still see quite a bit of that. So that's a little bit of the resistance to move to more of those year-round models. But I know in terms of education, the learning loss that happens over the three-month break in the summer is quite substantial. So moving around to the year-round school where there's more extended breaks kind of throughout the year and less one giant chunk of a break tends to mitigate that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Even the four-day school weeks and things like that is a happy compromise, and you still get 2 weeks off for spring break or winter break or whatever it might be and that sort of thing. Yeah, it is an agrarian society. It's an agrarian calendar, and I always find it interesting that we don't have more discussions about that, because that is the root of it. Mm-hmm. And I think if people start to understand that that is the root of it, they look at year-round school in a new way.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look at it as summer's off.
Right.
A lot of people are wondering what to do about daycare, to be honest.
Yep.
Oh, yes, yes.
Child care is an issue.
Junior high, I suppose that's a real hot topic, because that's that tweener age.
It is.
They're independent. Playing with matches or not playing with matches?
Yes.
Can I leave them home or not leave them home?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, wait, that's my son. So what are some of the things going on in the junior high school that kids should know about, I guess, coming up?
It's kind of funny. It's technically our second year as being a middle school, where 6th, 7th, and 8th grade are housed together. But in some ways, it feels like the first after the world that COVID was, where we were, trying to keep kids somewhat separated.
That's interesting. It was like preseason.
Little bit. So it was not necessarily the year we were hoping for, to have a brand new middle school where we were all finally under the same roof. But
it's a soft opening, like in Hollywood.
Yes, it's a great way to put that. So we're really excited to kind of kick it off the way we had originally planned. We do have 6 different teams, so each grade level is 2 teams. And one of the things we're really excited about. Basically, they kind of like a house, I guess I would say, almost like that Harry Potter kind of feel, where half of the sixth graders on the tundra team, the other half are on the desert team. So trying to kind of build some school pride and that kind of like culture of belonging and things like that, which is one of those kind of tough things with middle school kids, of they're not only trying to find themselves, but trying to, find that friend group and things like that. So trying to kind of build some of those pieces into that feeling of belonging. And I think it's really important in our community, because we do have so many people coming from all over the place, and they don't know if they're going to be here for a year or a month or the rest of their lives. So sometimes that buy-in is really hard for those kids, because they don't know how invested they want to get before they might have to move again. So we really are trying to foster that in the middle school. So last year, when we had to keep them so separated, now we're trying to bring them all together and have competitions and kind of build not just the school pride, but that team pride, within themselves too, and really have a core group of 4 teachers that are their person, their people to go to, that know them deeply and care about them deeply. So that's one thing I'm really excited about this year, is to be able to actually really foster that, because we've lost a lot of that by trying to keep everybody so segregated last year. So I'm really, really excited for that to start. And we do have our kind of back to school opening, I guess, if you want to say that. We couldn't really do an open house last year because we were trying to keep people out.
Premiere.
So we're excited to let them come in and actually see where their kids are going every day, and
get some Broadway lights out and make a big time deal.
Get some bounce houses and chalk and just play out on our little playground back there, and finally right. welcome people in because we've been keeping them out for
probably
too
by
long.
A drone
so.
That looks like a Blue Angel yeah. and have four or five fly over, make it all kinds yep. of funness.
Yep.
You know, we interviewed some students this week, and we'll be interviewing some more as well. But one of the things they talked about was the issue you brought up, which is when they don't know if they're going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't go out for things.
Yep.
And, you know, whether it be track or key. I said key club, boy. I didn't realize that wasn't a thing anymore. Boy, they looked at me like I said boo-ba-ba, like just craziness. So whatever the current club is,
yeah.
You find that the high school, is that an issue too? And we'll bounce back to the junior high in a mm-hmm. second. But at the high school, do you see that in sports especially, now that you're Division One or Class A,
yep.
Every kid matters at that in a different way that it does in Fargo or Grand
absolutely.
Forks because just the sheer number and bodies.
Yep, absolutely. You know, 3 years ago when I came, I started as the AD, and that was one of our big initiatives is to get more kids engaged in activities. You know, the research is pretty clear that students that are engaged in some sort of activity or athletic competition do better in school. They're more connected to the community. They're more connected to the school. And they just do better. So it's actually one of our school improvement goals is to continue to try to build up those numbers. I do think over the last 3 years, our numbers are improving. I think our population, our student population is stabilizing a bit. We're starting to see a lot more students that are, you know, here for those 3, 4, 5 years and less of the 1 and 2 years. So that's a positive thing for us. You know, we have nearly 60 kids out for football and just in grades 9 through 12, and I think we had less than that in grades 7 through 12 a few years ago. You know, so things are on the rise here. We are making a turn, and it does feel like our student population is becoming more stable, but it's still a major area of concern. We're very excited this year. We do have about 15% of our student population is Hispanic. Many of them are newcomers to the country, so English is their second language. Among this demographic of students, soccer is huge. And for our school, we don't have a school-based soccer team. So we've been really excited to partner with Pat and the team over at the Rough Rider Center and the Parks and Rec to offer a high school park and rec soccer team this fall for
like club.
Yep, kind of like a club yeah. soccer team.
Back in my old day when Key Club was around, we called it club soccer. Well, seriously, yep. yeah. we didn't have soccer at Fargo North.
Yep.
It was a club.
Yep.
And then it was, I think, 3 years after I graduated, like six of the top high schools ended up creating a league in mm-hmm. the
right.
and the state decided to give them some money and said, okay, we'll let you play.
Yep. yep. And that's a little bit of the hard part for us to try to just start a soccer team kind of from scratch to move right in and say, hey, we're going to go take on Fargo North and Bismarck High and those schools. That it would be a difficult road. So we're very excited for this opportunity for our kids to start to build soccer and build this program for our kids. You know, the youth soccer program has a ton of participation. I want to say their numbers are over 200 in the youth soccer. So it's a growing sport out here. And I do think down the road that it will be a high school sanctioned sport.
Well, I could see where Watford City and some of the oil communities would definitely become a forefront leader in the soccer just because of a lot of the foreign workers that come and yep. spend, you know, 10 years in a community yep. type thing and et cetera. Absolutely, I can see that. Wrestling, I see, is another one that can be put Watford City on the map, too, pretty quickly.
Yes, absolutely. You know, our wrestling program's kind of been through a little bit of transition the last few years. We've had a number of coaching changes, but we are excited to get that program kind of back rolling. And again, it's one that is deeply ingrained in this community. You know, Frank Fish had really a dynasty here throughout the 70s and 80s. It's a point of community pride. And we see a ton of our rodeo community kids that it's rodeo and wrestling. And it's kind of this mm-hmm. whole group of kids that do this kind of thing. So, again, that's a program that has really good youth numbers, and we're looking to grow that and build that into big numbers up at the high school level.
You know, and you mentioned teams earlier, and I'm going to tell you a story about balance of, mm-hmm. of raising a child. And my son, he gravitated towards Taekwondo and Pokemon, okay, which are individual mm-hmm. sports, okay? Yeah. And we were wrestlers growing up, which is another individual sport. And so it really didn't dawn on me because in school, I sat by myself. I was an individual in school. Mm-hmm. So I went away from wrestling to basketball and baseball and that. My son sits in tables with five other people. Everything is teams and this and that. So he naturally gravitated towards the individual sports. And then we were talking about how swimming and wrestling and track and field, boy, it's no wonder they've been around since the dawn of man, because you can get an individual gratification from mm-hmm. it, which is really hard to get in basketball. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes politics can make sure that you never graduate. But you go 3 minutes out on the mat in front of people and you win, hey, man, you're new to varsity for this week. If you don't keep it up, you're gone next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, no kidding.
I don't know if you guys ever thought about that, not to get too existential here on a Saturday morning, but there is a balance between the individual and the team part of it. So,
oh, definitely. Yeah.
So how about from the middle school? Talk to me a little bit about some of the integration in that you've had, whether it's from the athletic standpoint, or I see you just got your doctorate, so
yeah.
How are you going to apply that and et cetera?
Oh, you know, my doctorate was really focused on teachers, actually, and the teacher leadership was what my dissertation was on. So a lot of that I geared
funny.
Toward the adults in the building. And we have got a fantastic teaching staff. And so I'm excited to kind of use that to work with my teachers and my teaching staff on their leadership skills. And hopefully that does transfer down into the middle school, whether it's sports or academics or whatever it might be. We really kind of see the middle school as being the that transition and almost that experimental stage for them. When they go to high school, they have a lot of decisions that they have to make of, what career path do I want to go into? What, what activities do I want to be involved in? And so we kind of really see the middle school as pushing kids to experiment and try as many things as possible. So we actually make our students take a facts class, kind of that old, home ec kind of style class. We make them take an ag class, shop class. We make them take speech. We make them do a lot of things that probably they might not try on their own. It might be out of their comfort zone, but they might have some natural skills and abilities in that we don't want to go untapped. So that's kind of that's one of our newer things too with going mm-hmm. to that middle school, is really kind of forcing kids in some way to try things outside of their comfort zone and see what their skills are, so that by the time they get to the high school, they've got good decisions to make. They know what they want to do. They mm-hmm. know where their skills and talents are. They kind of maybe know where their passions are starting to lead them, and starting that as early as sixth grade rather than, kind of getting into high school and figuring out later. And now you have to worry about credits and mm-hmm. things like that. And then even, post high school, those decisions are going to be.
I know. So I started out pre-law in college, and then I worked for an attorney, and after 6 months decided I never wanted to do that. And so I'm glad I figured that out right away, because if I would have waited till 4 years to actually go and get a job with an attorney and things like that. So that, I'm very glad that happened. And I'm a big, big proponent of exposing people to different ideas and different, experiences, if you will, so that they can make choices that follow their passions. And one of the things that the high school has that blows my mind is that Rough Rider Center and the community center attached to it.
Yep.
Now, are you from Wahpeton? Is that in my notes right?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So Wahpeton would be a similar size community.
Yep.
You know, maybe not. There might be a little bit different in population, but mm-hmm. similarity mm-hmm. in terms of schools and things.
Sure.
I actually think Watford City, who's ever involved with that community center, Rough Rider Center, could go to towns the size of Watford City. I'm sorry, Wahpeton and Fergus Falls, for mm-hmm. example, is another one similar in our local area here, and put something like that together. Because just the opportunities that the kids get from mm-hmm. it, they'd never have them otherwise. Yeah. Never have them otherwise.
You know, it's funny, we go back to Wahpeton, and Breckenridge actually is where Noelle graduated.
Yep, I'm on the Minnesota side. But
okay.
But both of those communities are trying to put together a community center, and really they have been for a long time. And I think one of the unique things about Watford City is, and the reason we have that facility, is we have so many entities that work together to do that. The school, the city, the county, everybody works together so well to get the job done. And that's, I think, a really redeeming quality of this community, that at the end of the day, we're going to do what's necessary for the end result. We're not going to worry about each individual agenda and who gets what and all that kind of stuff. The community wins when we get the project done. And that's been shown over and over again in this community, especially on the school side. Our last two bond referendums, our last one passed at 80%, and the one before that was 90%. And you see around the state on the news, seems like all the time, schools struggling to pass their bond referendum because the communities are unwilling to kind of take on the tax burden. And it's not the case here. You know, we feel very, very fortunate to be in this community where the community does support the school. And the community supports the community. Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds silly, but you don't see that everywhere.
I think people need to come take a tour of it because it's like the Taj Mahal. On the east side of the state, we've got the Ralph Engelstad Arena, you know, with hockey, and that's considered the Taj Mahal of hockey arenas. Well, this is a state-of-the-art facility, but the fact that it's connected to the high school, that's the part that makes it the next level, in my opinion, for a community this size. It would be difficult in a Fargo because then you're playing favorites of – there's three high schools there.
Right.
Which one are you going to pick?
Yep.
It's got to be one that, you know, one high school is going to make it for 20, 30 years for a while, and then we'll worry about a second community center when that problem comes. But
No, it's absolutely phenomenal. You know, that's where all of our varsity basketball games are played, I like to say. Pretty sure we're the only high school in the state that has box seats in our home basketball arena.
Oh, no, you guys have the nicest facility in the state. I mean, it's probably the smallest population.
Yeah.
You know?
And I do think, in terms of athletics, it does give us a home court advantage, you know, whether it's volleyball or basketball. One of my favorite things as a AD, and I still get to do it a little bit as the high school principal, is walking teams off the bus into the Rough Rider and watching those kids' faces when they walk into the Rough Rider Center for the first time, and they're in awe, you know, because it's a college arena.
And awe is the correct word, too, because
you're
right.
Takes you back. Do the junior high kids like aspire to get there because of that, or do they? Not care.
I think so. Some of our kids got to be up there a little bit when 7th and 8th graders were at the high school. This will actually be the first year that students didn't have to make that transition back and forth between. So a lot of them kind of knew like what was coming. But, you know, we'll take kids up there for like our T4 events and things like that. And some of our students frequent there often, whether it's for teams or whether they're just going like as
some
a community member.
Play on varsity, actually.
Some of them are on that, but some kids don't. And so for some of those students that go in there and see different sections that they might not naturally go to, it's pretty fun to take them to those things. And especially when you have like a big, like a semi-truck in the middle of the Rough Rider Center, I think that it gives that different perspective of like, oh my goodness, this is a huge facility and there's so many cool things. Or when the Bucks came of like, this just turned into a football arena with turf on it. That was the first time since I had lived here that they had put turf down there. And it's fun to see the kids get excited about those things because it's almost like Christmas every morning type of thing because they just get super excited about it. So it's really fun to see that.
Tell me about your literacy program.
Oh, we've been really fortunate. We were recipients of a literacy grant, $2 million over 5 years, I want to say. And so we were very fortunate with that. It allowed us to do a lot of things that we were kind of hoping to do, but maybe the budget wasn't always there. Literacy is one thing that we have struggled with in our school district. Just, you know, there's when you have phones and screens and stuff, there's more fun things to do than reading. And so we're really trying to work on building like a culture of like enjoying reading and liking to read and putting a book in their hands. So that was a big thing, is just adding time to read in the day, getting kids interested in books. Even as adults, you know, sometimes we get busy and we don't get to read as much. So a lot of that was, you know, just trying to foster that love of learning. But a big part of it is family and community engagement. That's a huge tie to this grant. And so, which has always been kind of a goal of ours, is to get, you know, more. We've actually been very fortunate that our community does have such close ties with the school district. But now I think that getting the families in is kind of that next step and getting them more involved. I think a lot of times that communication is one way, school to parents. And so now we're trying to get parents come into the school and come join us and come partner with us. So I know, you know, just this summer, we're still kind of in the beginning stages, but we had like book clubs that we invited students and parents and community members to come and be a part of. I know some of Jim's students did a book drive last year and sold sweatshirts and things like that to, you know, not only raise money, but literally bring books in. We want to fill up our libraries. We want to get these into kids' hands. We want to send kids home with books and things like that. So we've been very fortunate, and we've done a lot in a year. We have a lot more that we want to accomplish in the next 4 years or so. But We've gotten some good feedback from the state level at the program that kind of helps run all of that. Has been really impressed with, again, our community and how quickly we were able to get some things up and running. And you know, some people are struggling, and we really haven't been. We struggle more, I think, with like, what's next? Like, what do we do next? How do we keep this going and being creative and innovative, mm-hmm. and things like that? So we've been very fortunate with our community and our family members in that sense too.
How about your volunteer program? What's happening with that?
So September 17th, we're having what we're calling Watford City High School Community Cleanup. So we are sending our entire high school out all morning for about 4 hours from 8 to noon to do community service projects throughout Watford City and really the whole county. We talked about busing. You know, we are the largest geographical school district in the state, so we are very fortunate to have Harlow's bus service, and they're willing to send buses all over, whether it's Keene or Arnigard or Grassy Butte, from corner to corner in the county. So we'll send our kids out anywhere to complete these community service projects. But really what we're trying to do is teach our kids to give back to this community. Like you said, we have the Taj Mahal in the Rough Rider Center. Our high school is not far behind. You know, we kind of have this nickname around the state from other kids as the Glass Palace. And we are very, very fortunate to have that, and the community has provided that for us. So we're trying to build a sense into these kids that it's okay and it's right to give back.
Is that because of the lunchroom?
Yeah, the lunchroom and the first
it's just all
the glass. Main hallway, it's all glass.
It's like Apple corporate,
right? You know, it's unreal. You know, so not everybody gets to go to high school in a building that looks this way.
No, it's honest to God, it's like something you see in a Beverly Hills 80s movie.
Right.
It's like you're looking for the smoothie station.
Yep.
Type of a thing, you know. And I'm not saying that disparaging. It's just that's the awe effect you're looking for. Like, exactly. Whoa, is this like a country club or what?
Yep. Because it's brand new too. And that's what draws people in here. And it's part of what drew Noelle and I here when we came for the interviews. And you know, from Wahpeton to Watford City is about a 6.5 hour drive. And we drove up after work one day, so it was a long drive after a full day of work. And it's getting dark, and we're just kind of, you know, they're really going to have to wow us here.
Right.
And we left the high school, the Rough Rider. We went, wow.
Yeah, and then the drive is gorgeous, too.
Yeah, the Badlands and all of the public land and all that. Yep.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just a great community. But the other portion to our Watford City Community Cleanup, in addition to teaching our kids to give back, North Dakota has gone to a different model for school assessment and school accountability. They call it their Choice Ready framework. So schools, instead of just having to pass the state test, now the goal is to get our students to be choice ready. By the time they graduate, we want our students to have enough information, have tried enough things to make a choice whether they want to go to college, whether they want to enter the workforce, or join the military. So part of that is every student needs to have 25 hours of community service. So we're trying to build that into our day to get more of our kids to be choice ready under that framework and just for their own lives. So that's really kind of the backbone of our community cleanup.
Well, in conclusion, what kind of PSA do we need to give the parents parent service announcement? Do we got anything? Just something that going into every year, you know, whether it's COVID or whatever it might be, it's, you know, what's kind of the leading thing this year that parents should be keeping their eyes on? What do you think?
You know, we have a couple of big changes for the high school. We are starting every Wednesday at 9:30 instead of our regular 8:30. That's going to give our teachers time to meet for their PLC groups, but it's also going to be a nice flex time for students. The building will be open. The library will be open. They'll have time to grab some teachers or do some homework or kind of hang out a little bit. So it's a little bit of flex time for our students, and then it's time for our teachers to get some work done. Beyond that, I would just say we're very excited to have everyone back. We are hoping COVID doesn't come back and rear its ugly head. So we're starting pretty well normal, and we're just excited to get kind of back to work and back to normal, and excited to get the kids back in the building.
Yep.
How about at the junior high level? Anything parents should be knowing?
You know, probably the biggest thing is, I know we kind of have our registration on the 17th and 18th where kids get their schedule. So that's really exciting when they get to see what team they're on. Yes. Yep. We want them to come. Yeah.
That's actually probably going to be a national story.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll everyone see. Else is shutting down. So
yes. I mean, we absolutely want them to come. And yeah, we want parents to feel free to wander the building and see where their lockers are and their classrooms are. And I know at the middle school, the afternoon, I think from 4 to 6 on the 17th, we have bounce houses and bubbles and hang out and just
high school's on the 18th, same time, 4 to 6. We've got all kinds of activities for kids. We're gonna have the Rough Rider Center and the Parks and Rec promoting their programs. We've got bounce houses, we've got our art teacher doing tattoos, and then actually afterwards at 6:15 our theater program's doing a screening of Toy Story as a fundraiser. And if kids come in costume, they get a dollar off of admission.
Boy, so it really is a party.
It really is, yeah.
We're really trying to do everything.
We want to see people. Yeah,
we're trying to do it up big and draw as many people in as we can, and make sure we get them registered, get them in the right stuff, and start the year off on the right foot.
Well, thank you too for coming by this morning, and good luck to you here, and enjoy your Watford City.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.